Hundreds of New York City police officers and rescue workers who responded to the September 11th attacks have attended psychological debriefings. In the sessions, people on the front lines of disaster are encouraged to relive their experience with a counselor. The goal is to have rescue workers vent emotions that might cause more stress. Debriefing has been used widely, but a new critique is asking whether it works. NPR's Libby Lewis reports.
Think of what you would do for a neighbor whose father had died. You'd bring over food, you'd give hugs, you'd offer to run errands. Richard Gist is a consulting psychologist with the Kansas City Fire Department. He says psychological debriefing can amount to offering the opposite.
One thing you would certainly not consider is coming over the next morning, pushing all the furniture out of the living room, putting all the dining room chairs in a circle, and having a counselor sit down and ask them to recount in explicit detail how the deceased party clutched his chest, choked and sputtered, and turned blue on the floor. That wouldn't be helpful at all.
Gist says that's what debriefing can be like for many rescue workers who are required to do it after a real-life horror they've had to deal with. Barry Lubetkin is a psychologist, too. He knows about the naysayers of psychological debriefing. That didn't stop him from debriefing a Red Cross volunteer working near Ground Zero on September 12th. The volunteer collapsed in tears after he'd helped carry an old man to safety. It turned out the volunteer's own father had died just a few weeks before.
And this had sparked a real hot button for him in terms of his own unresolved mourning. And so we spent a good deal of time talking about the connection between the two experiences.
The debate over psychological debriefing isn't academic. It's more like a battlefield. If words were weapons, there would be bodies. The passions here often outstrip the available science. This corner of trauma research is a relatively new field, and it's tricky to truly measure. What evidence there is suggests this kind of debriefing does not prevent psychological problems down the line, and two studies suggest it could make things worse. As a result, the British Health Service has stopped the practice. The health services in Canada and Australia have backed away from mandatory debriefing. After September 11th, the Defense Department and the Justice Department brought together 60 experts who've studied early counseling interventions after mass violence. The panelists agreed the evidence wasn't there to advocate mandatory debriefing.
Implicit in that statement is that we should not be doing it.
Richard Bryant is a psychologist with the University of South Wales, Australia. He was on the panel convened in the U.S. He says many people enjoy being debriefed, but he's worried about the people who feel worse afterwards. Bryant says for them, debriefing was too much, too soon.
In a sense, for them, the dust hadn't settled. The chaos was still going on. They hadn't just regrouped. Instead, they were strongly encouraged to disclose and to ventilate their feelings, and that was the very time when really what they needed to do was to regain a sense of control.
Debriefing, of course, is meant to help. That's what is emphasized by the International Critical Incident Stress Foundation. The principals of the foundation declined to be interviewed by NPR, but their training videos stress debriefing's power to help.
Critical incident stress debriefings are very positive in orientation and are not designed to be critical of the operation itself or of the personnel. Instead, CISDs are meetings in which emergency personnel can freely express their thoughts, feelings, and reactions to the event.
But it's not always that way in practice. When the Alfred P. Murrah Federal Building blew up, Mike Shannon was a chief with the Oklahoma City Fire Department. He was with his rescue teams that morning, trying to muscle through to survivors trapped under mountains of metal and concrete. At one point, Shannon broke the rules. He left his team to go after a man stranded on the north face of the building. The man he went after was retrieved. He died later in the hospital. But Shannon himself got cut off from the others and had to be rescued with an aerial ladder. A few days after the explosion, the fire chaplain, trained in stress debriefing, came to talk to Shannon.
The chaplain picked me up in his golf cart, took me back to the debriefing building that they were using by the command post. Went inside and spent about 30 minutes or so talking. He wanted to know how I felt. He had heard that I was too emotionally involved, and I asked, you know, how do you define too?
Shannon says the idea of debriefing is a good one, making sympathetic listeners available for those who want to talk. But he said the idea goes wrong when it requires reliving the trauma. Shannon agrees it's good to know there's help if you need it, so long as no set therapy is mandatory. As Richard Gist, the Kansas City psychologist, put it, the helper should come in less like the Messiah and more like the Maytag repairman. Libby Lewis, NPR News.